Ladies and gentlemen,
he's on fire.
Welcome back. Playback. I'm in a dark room. Welcome back. Let's keep it a buck to another episode of Let's Keep It a Buck, the only podcast where we keep it a buck. I got the guys with me. Show your Kroger Plus card. Man, they are in Indiana, ain't they? That's how you know, right? Damo, that's how you know. They over there showing it. Show your Kroger.
Right here.
I got 2X on the gas. I got the guys here with me. Y'all don't got Kroger up there, do y'all? Sage and Viso?
No.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know. Damo.
That Market Basket. Shaw's. Y'all got Shaw's down there? Shaw's?
Shaw's? What the hell is that?
Shaw's might be a division of Kroger, though.
Stop and Shop?
I got Stop and Shop. Stop. I know where it's from. I got Stop and Shop.
Down South conversation.
I'm just asking what y'all got and what we don't. Damn.
This is a 10 for 10 only conversation. If you can't get 10 for 10, I don't want to hear it, gang.
There's a Shaw's near me. Mm.
Huh. You asked me. What?
Not near me, but.
Omar, whole family love Kroger. Listen,
he's on fire.
I diss Columbia Cruise.
I know who do got a Kroger Plus membership.
Oh my god, y'all are bored. Damn it.
I was holding back so hard. I didn't want to say it.
I got the guys here with me. B Souls, how you doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing great. Yes, sir.
Yeah, TSO underscore Sajay, how you doing today?
I'm doing great because we ain't gotta watch the Lakers play b-ball no more. Thank God it's in the past, man.
Okay. Fuck. Damo, how you doing today?
Doing terrific. Not only are the Lakers not in the playoffs to break my heart, I also get to smoke a Kevin Durant pack, and it's looking like I'm gonna be able to smoke a Dame pack too during the pod. Great.
Great. Did you smoke any Miami pack? Did you even try or
nah? It's no point. Nightwing was not there. It don't hit the same. What am I smoking? Bam?
Did you try it to see if it did hit the same? You know?
That was crazy. That's crazy. Hell. I didn't even hit the plug up for the Miami pack because I knew it wasn't hitting right because Jimmy's not there. If Nightwing not playing, I don't want to hit it.
Oh, the guy who did try to hit it is not the same. It isn't
the rest of them low key. I ain't gonna lie. I kind of work with that. Yeah, that was crazy. I mean,
I fuck with Miami. The Jimmy-less Miami team, I fuck with them.
I really like Bam. I really like Duncan Robinson. I don't know. Caleb Martin, I don't know.
That's how I knew I really didn't like Jimmy, because I'm looking at the Heat play. I'm like, man, I really like these guys, man. Did they get a haircut? Is it a haircut? Like, what's different about these guys?
Culture?
I believe it.
Listen, if you're new to this, you want to be true to this, make sure you hit that join button. Make sure you hit that like button. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Make sure you hit that follow button. Hit all the buttons. Loosen up my buttons, baby. Hop into the community. The Discord is where it's at. The community notes is where it's at. The playback streams are where it's at. If you're on the audio side, you know, you hopping on the bus to go take your milestones or your CRCT or your finals these upcoming weeks. You know, while it's cold or warm outside at the bus stop, leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a 5-star review, especially on Apple. Miso's, you got a 5-star review for me?
Yeah, man, I got one right in front of me right now.
Okay.
This is from TSO underscore UBBA 126. Shout out to the pod, man. Y'all make my days easier. Y'all make my drives easier. Y'all make my work days easier. I love y'all, man. Love from Toronto.
I feel like
can I also add? Dropping my daughter off at school today. That's crazy. He made that up.
Yes.
That's so nasty, man. All right. Can I give an actual review from an audio listener, please? Damn, we faking these audio listeners. I actually dropped my daughter off at school today. I dropped my daughter off at school, and another kid's older brother actually recognized me from the pod. So he's just looking at me. Then he just walk over. He darts straight to me, dap me up and shit. His mom, mind you, this nigga's like in middle school. His mom already looking at me like throwing off because some random ass little boy done walked up to me and just dap me up smiling and shit. So I'm like, all right, buddy, let's relax. I don't want to get in trouble. But he's like, yo, you you on that one show with Low Brother, right? Immediately almost kicked him in the face. I almost kicked him in the face when he said that. And I'm like, I'm like, yeah, man. He was like, yo, that's what's up. Hey, my mom don't know, but when I'm in class, I really be listening to y'all. I can't watch, but I be listening. So I'm considered an audio listener. I'd give y'all 5 stars if I could. I was like, that's dope, bro. I appreciate it. So nigga be listening to us instead of learning.
You could have told him he was dick riding. That's acceptable.
I'm not gonna tell him he was dick riding, man.
You could have.
Yeah, that's acceptable.
I could have told him he was dick
riding. But you didn't. But why?
It was like a fucking sixth grader gang. Like, I don't know.
Dick riding gangy.
Like I said, he's a middle school.
Yo, why you on my thing?
No, it's like 7 a.m. This little nigga done ran from his mom to dap me up. Yo, I fuck with the pod. Oh, you on that shit with little brother, right? And I'm gonna do, all right, little nigga, you don't gotta be a dick sucker. And like, what? Jesus.
I did get recognized in the city yesterday, man. Mm. Yeah, man. Yo, is that Beast all you like YouTube shit? Yeah, man.
I would have told him
content, appreciate you.
I would have told him, yo, I'm about to nut. You keep riding like this. This is crazy.
Yo, this is crazy.
Cut that out, things.
Come on.
I'm about to nut.
It'd have been over with.
I am not saying that to no fucking sixth grader, bro. I'm gonna be the next EDP, bro. He's gonna heat me up out of there. What?
There is nothing we could say.
If he really watches, he would have known. He wouldn't have said
that. What is mom gonna say? What is his mom gonna say? Would she know?
Hey, that's on her. Let's get into basketball. Trying to introduce new segments every time. We do something new every time. We got the stat of the day. Stat of the day.
Okay. Actually,
in 2005, only 4 players achieved recording a triple double in 3 straight games: George Hill, Magic Johnson, Grant Hill, Bob Sura. Bob Sura is only in this elite club of players for less than 10 hours. Because the NBA then determined he purposefully missed his shot to get a rebound and stripped him of his rebound.
Can you do that?
Oh, dick suck.
Now that's your boy.
That's dick suck. I ain't gonna.
That is crazy. Dick suck.
Damn, yeah. Stat pattern be damn. Okay, cool. Frown on it. But that's dick suck. Oh my God.
How did they even determine it? It must have been like hella blatant, though.
He must have literally said, boom, boom, end game. like literally.
Y'all, I'm about to say, y'all. I thought it was Ricky Pierce. Y'all ain't never seen Ricky Davis do it?
Yes, I've seen Ricky Davis. Hell, Giannis did it recently. Like in recent years,
Giannis did do that.
Yeah, purposely missed to get a triple double at the end of the game.
Ricky Davis like threw it off his own backboard or something like that in order to get the rebound, which was the most.
And then celebrated afterwards.
I think this is pathetic. Yeah, this is it right here. Let me play it. Ricky Davis is one. It's funny. So I could only imagine that's how, like, the Bob Sura incident happened.
When was the Bob Sura shit?
Go back to the Capitol. Prizes are proud sponsors of the Utah Jazz answer since 1992. They're committed to helping you look, feel, live better, find out more.
That's a board. My board!
When was the Bob Sura shit? 95?
Yeah, 05? I have to look it up. It's one of the older times. Yeah. Fake. Triple
black
double. Yo, that is crazy. Two different buses type beat.
That's not what I was talking about. The color of the TV.
2004.
Come on, dog. And talk about grayscale and RGB.
Wait, guess what? All right, it's 2004. You know somebody that does that has to be on a terrible team. Guess what team he was on?
The Bullets. Nah, I don't know.
Close? Close?
2004?
Yeah, they got to be a terrible team for him to pull something like this off.
Celtics? Shit. Celtics were bad then.
Farther.
Clippers.
You're definitely colder.
Are you talking about location?
Close, Damo. Damo's closer than you.
I cannot think of
Atlanta Hawks, man.
Oh, shit. I was going to say Orlando. Fuck.
NBA legend. Hawks legend! Bob Sura! I swear to God, we can't catch a break. Never.
Damn,
Let's play our new favorite game, Hot Take or Hot Ass, where we discover if the take was hot or if the take was ass. This is Gary Owens, if you know who Gary Owens is. He talks about a time back in, I think this is 2014 or 2013, something like that, where he had to miss the Spurs Heat finals for this special occasion.
We're shooting Think Like a Man 2 in Vegas. Game 7 against the Spurs is about to happen, and they switched the whole shooting schedule around so Gabrielle could make the game. Gab goes, all right, the students, they switched the schedule around, so I got to charter a plane so that we could get, so she could get to Miami, go to the game, party if you guys won, and be back in Vegas on Monday. I was able to finagle one ticket for myself. I got a ticket. I was like, oh, it's going to be a great night. I called my ex. Going to Miami, go to the game. She goes, your son has a game. I was like, what? My son was in seventh grade. She goes, your son has a game. She goes, how do you think your son would feel if he saw you at the Heat game? And he right. has a game. I was like,
that ain't right.
But I can't go to his game because I have to fly commercial. Like, literally, the only reason I could go was because there was a private.
Yeah.
I didn't go because it was an argument. It was an argument.
So the question is, did he do the right thing? Should he have gone to the historic Game 7? What should he have done? Is what he did hot take or hot ass?
I'm going with hot ass. I'm not going to lie to you. I originally, when I first seen this, I didn't have the context because I didn't have the full context of why he was able to go to the game, because they moved everything around. He was chartered on a flight, that, and the third. That made it more understanding. But I still don't agree. Me, personally, you don't push it about your kids, man. Like, go to your kids' game. I understand it might be just another seventh grade game, but I subscribe to the belief that I'm going to all my kids' games. I mean, that's not everybody, but that's just how I feel. I'm going to all my kids' games. You know, fuck about that. There will be basketball games. There will be professional basketball games every year, unless there's COVID. My kid's not gonna be in seventh grade their whole life. They shouldn't be, God forbid. My kid's not gonna be playing school ball their entire life. I want to go to my kid's game. So nah.
Do we know if he regularly goes to the games?
I'm gonna say Gary Owens has a terrible, I had to look it up to remember, he has a terrible relationship with his kids. Like, his daughter graduated from college. He found out through the internet, bought a ticket, and kind of like was sitting on the sides recording and stuff like that, on some like I don't want to see you shit because it's gonna be awkward. Like, he has a very terrible relationship with his family. So,
oh yeah, I mean, if he has a terrible relationship, that is some dickhead shit. But if he goes to a lot of this kid's regular basketball games, and I don't know if it was a playoff game, maybe it was just another regular season game, I think he could miss one. But that's just me though.
Well, this segment is about picking a side versus walking down the middle lane. I'm going to go 55-60% towards hot ass, only because ultimately I'm trying to view it from the kid's perspective. And, you know, your pops is there. That's like, what's up? They like help you play harder, helps you be something to remember, all of that thing, versus your pops not being there, let alone your pops choosing to go to X and Y game, especially if your pops is consistently not there. Now it's like, damn, he's watching basketball, just not me. So it's kind of, at that point it gets fucked. But it's only 60% because there's an inverse of, if he goes to all the games, he's like, yo, I got this hot game 7 ticket, and the son's like, yeah, go ahead, bro. Then that's all a different context, obviously.
I seen somebody say I would have just took my son with me. Like, he gonna miss that game. He going with me on some shit like that.
He got one ticket.
He said he got one ticket. Fuck that. I would have tried to get 2 tickets, but but again, to even be in that situation, he didn't know his son had a game. Like, for you to get the,
that's
like,
true.
He didn't know his son had a game. He finagled one ticket. He let his ex know he's going to Miami because he's going to that game. You know your woman. You know how your woman gonna react. If you knew your son had a game, you knew that wasn't going to fly. You wouldn't call and ask like that. So he didn't know his son had a game.
Men not men no more, gang. Nah. We got to. Nah, men not men no more. Put your foot down. go to that game. It didn't save your family any sooner. So, hey, just
burn the bridge.
Fuck yeah, burn, you burn the bridge. Why not put more gas on it type shit? Like, come on.
I just hate how in that clip he's talking to two niggas who are professionals at missing their kids' events with that shit.
Fuck.
Yeah, she told me, hey, man, made it over one game. They over there. Man, that's not fair. Nigga, you have missed Christmases, Thanksgivings, holidays, birthdays, everything. Y'all are NBA basketball players are professionals at missing shit. So that is the most what is that shit called? Confirmation bias ass thing you can do. Like, yo, my girl was crazy, right? I missed my son's game for game seven. You told two niggas on the Heat and it was game seven, guys. Yeah, she's bugging, dog.
Are you saying all NBA players are deadbeats?
Let's do another yes. one. Let's do another. This is friend of the show. This is family of the show. Jumping Jehoshaphat Reddick talking to the Big Diesel. I want to see this whole podcast because I want to know how Shaq responds to this criticism about his era.
Only thing I don't like about the conversation is they don't put my boy's name in it. You're going to be throwing names around. You got to put your boy's name in it. That's like saying, what are the best luxury cars out there? Lexus or a Beamer? You got to put the Mercedes in there too. Mike, LeBron, or Kobe. Now y'all debate.
I refuse to get into the GOAT debate. I don't. He didn't play against
laugh.
Is the fact that he's done it now for 21 years at the highest level. Yeah, LeBron's never averaged 35 in a year. Guess what? He's averaged 25 or more for 20 straight years. We're nitpicking. A lot of times we're comparing eras. Like, I'll say this with Michael Jordan, and I don't mean this to be controversial. Michael Jordan, during his heyday, six teams were added to the NBA. There were 90 players added to the NBA. Does that not water down? I'm not talking playoffs, by the way. No chance we're talking playoffs. You're not telling me that the league for a little bit is going to be a little watered down?
Now, I do want to add some additional context because Jumpin' Jehoshaphat Reddick isn't the only one that believes that. This is a quote from Bulls forward Dennis Rodman. For one, won't be impressed if Chicago – this is back when they were about to, you know, pass these marks. Bulls forward Dennis Rodman, for one, won't be impressed if Chicago smashes the NBA record of 69 wins in a season set by a great Lakers team of the early 70s. From Dennis. The league is so filtered and watered down, we can beat anybody with our eyes closed, pretty much. Rodman said. Charles Barkley and Larry Bird have expressed comparable sentiments about the way the league has thinned out. Bird even used the Jazz as an example, and people in the Jazz camp have a hard time disagreeing. You look at the overall picture, it is diluted to some extent, said Jazz coach Jerry Sloan, whose team is in Los Angeles preparing to meet the Lakers on Friday night. You can get by with three great players on a team and have a chance to win it all. Before, you had to have four or five great players and some players around them. Hot take, hot ass.
I think it's a hot take. I mean, the niggas aren't lying. Like, I mean, literally that last quote where they said you used to have four or five players or great players around them to win. If you look at the 80s, what teams won in the 80s? Literally that description of teams. Deep teams. Those teams were the dynasties. Those teams were the ones that ran the era. You get to the 90s, a lot of two-man shows, a lot of three-man shows. It was not big four, big fives, and great teams filled around them anymore. You could get by with three great guys. Hey, man, throw Luke Longley out there, man. Fuck it. Why not? Why not have Luke Longley out there taking ugly jumpers?
My only thing is, does more parity mean watered down, or vice versa? Does being watered down mean more parity? Because, like, the 80s were hella top-heavy, but outside of the 76ers, the Celtics, the Pistons, and the Lakers, you can squeak in the Rockets in there, you can squeak in the Denver Nuggets. Like, there weren't really that many championship contenders, so what does that really say about the teams in the league? Like, which era was it really easier to win in? Because if you were just on those four teams, you had a shot.
But I don't think you're more watered down if it's more parity. Because if it's more parity, that means there's more competitive teams and talent is distributed more. If you look in the 90s was another top-heavy era. It was ran by one nigga for real. Outside of that, you had the 2 years of Hakeem, and at the tail end, you had who won at the tail end. But outside of Jordan, it was what, the Lakers? No, the Spurs were the team that went right before the new millennia. Yeah. In the 2000s, the 2000s seemed like it was way more parity. I guess it was more parity compared to the 90s, but yeah, the 80s were top heavy. You have, it's either top heavy, more parity, and I don't think it's been as watered down, at least in recent memory, as it was in the 90s. I think that was the most watered down it was, because there's never been that many teams added since. Like, other than that, it was how many teams added in the 2000s? One? Yeah, one team was added. The Pelicans got added. But yeah,
what
the
about Pelicans, that whole Hornets situation. That wasn't.
Yeah,
that
was they got switched though. No. Yeah. The Hornets were Charlotte's team, but they just end up getting switched to the Bobcats, and the Hornets were in New Orleans. I don't know how that became a thing though.
Yeah.
Charlotte to New Orleans, then New Orleans to fucking Pelicans out of nowhere later on in life.
That was weird. What the fuck?
It's just it's 2004.
Damn,
they added. Ultimately, for me. And y'all know I'm a proponent of actually taking away teams for this exact reason. I'm not a believer that there's really this much talent in the league. We haven't really caught up to that point. I think we would benefit if some of these players who we are already noting, hey, Trae Young isn't a 1A on a team. Well, because there are 30 teams, he has to be a 1A on a team because that's just the way this shit shakes out. However, if Trae was a 3 or 4 or hell even a backup on teams, because that's what was happening in like the 70s and the 80s and the 60s and stuff like that, there were guys that were the starter talent just spread out or just compact on different teams. That to me means that you have a true legitimate 1 through 9, 1 through 8. And again, in the playoffs that may not matter because you're gonna cut your lineup down anyway, but just throughout the regular season, like if you don't have a 10, which you should have a 10, because you cut those teams out, it's going to be like that. Expansion isn't a bad thing. That is just a byproduct of expansion. Like, it's not too crazy to say, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it did dilute the league. It's just before Sage goes. I think it did dilute the league. Just how much it made it easier to win championships is just my question. Like, how drastic did it make that part easier? But go ahead, Sage.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be too long because I know you and Dama have to go back and forth, or maybe Dama's done. But it's definitely more of a hot take than hot ass. Maybe I'm taking the segment too literal, but I mean, JJ spoke in fact. It's not even like opinion on half of what he said. He just spoke a genuine truth. And then when you combine that with the 90s and early 2000s being one of the slower paced eras, shit kind of makes sense. Hell, he's talking about teams getting added, players getting added. Unless I'm getting it wrong, I think that even includes Shaq unironically. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, what are we saying? It's just straight up true. So yeah, it's definitely a hot take. Maybe you don't like the context or tone of the sentence, but yeah, it's definitely more of a hot take than hot ass.
That nigga Mike Epps is throwed right now. That boy is good on. Eyes can't even open. I want to save our hot takes for a little bit later because I want to get into some more NBA basketball stuff because I might derail us. So let's get into some more basketball. This is the NBA on NBC. If that comes back, they might start copywriting that soundboard chat. So just enjoy it while you can. Yeah, apparently they are really in the mix to get that done. Sir Charles has a message for the young players out there, for the young league out there, for the NBA out there. You know, family of the show, Charles Barkley.
Also, you said you wanted to say something coaching.
Yeah, here. You know, part of our job, we watch all the games and we watch all the talk shows. You know, a lot of these people on television, they're cowards. They want the players to like them. They don't want to do their job, to tell the truth. And I just want to say this about coaching. Anybody who thinks the reason the Lakers suck is because of Darvin Ham, or the reason the Suns suck is because of Frank Vogel, you don't know what you're talking about. Frank Vogel is a hell of a coach. Darvin Ham is a hell of a coach trying to get his career started. But for all you punks, idiots, and jackasses on other networks who want to be media and who want all the players to like y'all, do your damn job. The Lakers suck, and the Suns suck because of the players. Has nothing to do with the coaches. I feel better now.
Here, I can tell.
Nothing!
Like getting that off your chest?
I did. I hate it, man. You sit there like...
He said nothing to do with the coaches?
Nothing!
Who put them teams together? Them trash ass teams put together.
Need That's to the shot. Only thing I can you know
what? They didn't just stop. All of a sudden suck as coaches. People who put them teams together to get, they start packing up their stuff.
Now, okay. The second half, I agree.
Now, in the first half, hey, you had me in the first half. Not gonna lie. You had me ready to go in the first half. I feel it though.
Okay. Now, he feels like there's some competition out there, because on the flip side of that, we have our guy, and again, this isn't necessarily Lakers, but we have our guy, Matt Ishibia. Got y'all, if y'all don't know who Matt Ishibia is, the Suns guy, y'all have got to look into him. Man. Very fascinating guy. But he, not directly, but has some pushback to that, because he feels like he's done a great job.
Oh, it's extremely fixable. I mean, let's just be real, although this isn't a cool narrative and the national media really won't want to play it out there. But like, ask other 29 GMs, 26 of them would trade their whole team for our whole team and our draft picks and everything as is. Like, the house is not on fire. It's not hard to fix. It's not like we're like, hey, we don't have enough talent to win a championship. We have enough talent to win a championship, right? Do we have enough continuity? Do we have time together? Like, there's a lot of things we can look at. Do we have like the right leadership in place? Do we have to add some little pieces around that? It's not like we don't have people that can score the ball, not that play defense and have one champ. Like, we have all the things. And so how fixable is it? And I mean, if I read the media, I would think we have a lot of problems. But luckily, I get to spend time with, you know, the best players in the world, in my opinion, the best coaches, GMs, see like all these people. And I get to spend time with our people and say, we're in really great shape.
Now, hold on. Let me bring one more, because I really want to bring it full circle, because people don't like when I just leave out a little bit. That circle that he's talking about includes one friend of the show, James Jones, you know, one
That's
of LeBron.
My guy. That's my guy.
Yeah, yeah. And he is validating what a lot of people would probably feel is the nonsense that Matt just spewed out, the rhetoric that Matt just spewed out.
Figure out how to maximize Kevin Durant. No one's done it yet. I believe we'll be the first team to do it, because if we can maximize him, we can maximize our entire roster. We're a better team. But that's not an issue. I think Kevin had a phenomenal season this year offensively. I think there's a stretch. He has some of the best stretches of his career this year. So it wasn't an offensive thing. It wasn't just a utilization or a usage thing. It was just the totality of figuring out when and where and how to do it together. We just could not be on the same page. We ran out of time. But I think if you ask Kevin, he'll tell you, Kevin enjoys playing the game. We enjoy him playing the game. And when he's playing at the highest level, he makes us a really, really good team, and we're damn near unbeatable. And you saw that at times this year. But like every great player, you know, what we may view as being like awesome, Kevin thinks isn't good enough.
Okay. All right.
I'm gonna let you go. All I'm gonna say is,
because I'm about to
fire everybody.
Yeah, go. I'm about to say, yeah. Time out.
Fire everybody.
Let's. Who are we talking about? James Jones first. Hey, let's just get James Jones out of the way.
Who is right? Who is wrong? What side of the fence are you on? Is the media stupid? Are we looking at the wrong people? Because James Jones.
Oh, I'm looking at the wrong people. I was looking at the front office. Now I got to look at who hired the front office, bro. Looking one step up. Hey, I'm done with this bullshit.
This shit is ridiculous. I'm going to go James Jones, and then I'll spin the block if one of my co-hosts talk about the other people first. That's fine. James Jones. Just because what you just said is fresh in my mind, dog. That's not cooking. First thing first, yet Katie shooting in the corner a lot. Second, he literally is sitting there talking about he's unhappy again. So there's that. I guess we could ask him, and someone's lying. Most importantly, you gonna maximize him? The Phoenix Suns compared to the Golden State Warriors? Hell, even compared to the Oklahoma City Thunder? You're going to maximize Kevin Durant? How are you going to maximize Kevin Durant at 30, what, 5, 36 years old? You're going to be the person to maximize KD at this point in his career, which is kind of scary considering Devin Booker's on the team. You don't want to maximize Devin Booker. You want to maximize Kevin Durant. But okay, so what does that look like with just, I don't know, nothing but buckets out there? Because I've seen another thing talking about, oh yeah, we're gonna keep the same starting five. So y'all don't even y'all don't think there's a problem at all with your construction in terms of the people that get the most important minutes, and you think you're going to maximize Kevin Durant, even though he's not happy the way he's playing, even though many people aren't happy with the way he's playing. And if I personally don't necessarily have the biggest problem with Kevin Durant being more of an off-ball guy, but I don't think, like, what does that even change? That's probably my final thing. Maybe that'll be the thing that comment 989 just tries to cook me for. But what does maximizing Kevin Durant even do for this situation? It's kind of just like the blind following the blind at this point. It's more ignorance, more buckets, no defense, and you're going home again. I don't see, man, but that's just James Jones. There's other people to talk about, but I'm not going to rap for five straight minutes before someone else speaks. Go ahead.
Damo, I know you ready. Yeah, because
I ain't gonna lie. Hey, best of friend do when Chuck come up.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm about to have probably a take a lot of people are gonna be upset about. One, Charles Barkley, you're an idiot. The day I listen to a nigga that spits on little girls as a father is the day I die. I don't give a fuck what you're talking about. Two, Matt Ishiba or whatever that guy's name is, not gonna lie. I'm not mad at anything he said. Personally, I agree. They haven't had enough time around each other. Going into this season, we all knew the roster was incomplete. Now, I don't think the roster is as awesome as the nigga is saying, but I do agree. In my opinion, there are minor tweaks you make with this roster, and it becomes way better. I genuinely feel that. I agree with that completely. James Jones, there's a reason he was at the end of them benches every time I seen him. There's a reason you only peaked at a 69 overall in 2K. And that's because you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Maximizing an old Kevin Durant is crazy. I don't know if he means in terms of building a team around him that wins, if that's maximizing him. Maybe we need to discuss what the term maximize is. Because, like you said, Omar, he won an MVP in Oklahoma City. And he won a championship and finals MVP in Golden State. How much more better can he get? What's maximizing him? I can say the Nets didn't maximize him, cool, but what's maximizing him that they didn't do that y'all are going to do? That's crazy. I agree with you, Sage. Retweet that. Y'all have Devin Booker. Why are we not talking about maximizing Devin Booker? Why are we not building a ship around Devin Booker? That's insane. But yeah, that's really it. I ain't gonna lie to you. So you got it.
Going back to the Charles Barkley shit, I agree with his premise. I just think he took too much accountability from the coaches. Like, we've been talking about on this platform of, like, yeah, we gotta cool out on the coaches, but it can't be a full extreme of coaches do not matter, and it's just the front office and the players, and that's it. These coaches are just trying their best. No, there's accountability to be held on that front. When it comes to the Phoenix Sun shit, I'm gonna be honest, I just wanna do the activity of, how many teams would rather have the Phoenix Suns core or the Phoenix Suns roster than what they got? Let's do that right now, because I think in the West, three easy that do not care about what the Phoenix Suns got, OKC, Minnesota, Denver, three right there. And he said 26 out of the 29 teams, just in your own conference, there's three teams that do not give a shit about Bradley Beal, D-Book, and KD for the next 5 years. Over in the East, my Celtics don't give a shit about that fucking core, dog. So that's four right there. That's four. Sage got it in his background. That's five. Dallas.
He's on fire.
Do the San Antonio Spurs want that core over having Vic? Just period?
Neither does Houston. Neither does Houston.
So yeah, neither does Houston. Orlando, I don't know. I feel like I'm missing a bunch of names. But long story short, I'm getting to 10 pretty fucking easy.
We can do the bit. I don't give a fuck. And we got time today, ladies and gentlemen. OKC, no. Denver, no. T-Wolves, no. Clippers, maybe. So I'll give you that. Mavs, no. Lakers, I mean, maybe. Fuck it. Pelicans, probably. Probably. Kings, probably. Warriors, probably. Rockets, no. Jazz.
Please, we don't have to go down this whole list. Fuck these niggas.
I was gonna speed run the shit, man. By the way, Grizzlies would be no when Josh healthy. But hey, man. Hey, look, that take. Look, I think he was way off with that take. What Dama was saying in terms of him talking about oh, yeah, we got to make minor tweaks and anything. I hear you that, yeah, you agree. But I think that's just a foregone conclusion because that's kind of what he has to do. What are you going to do? Trade KD and D-Book and Beal? That wasn't going to happen. I don't think Bradley Beal's value is the same as it once was. And even if it somehow is, what are you going to get considering what we just saw from him? So I think he just had to speak in hindsight. But I'll say this. You can only be so mad at the guy that made the roster defending the roster. What is he going to do? Go live and say it's ass? Well, fair enough.
I think, though, you can. That's one. I think that what Chuck did introduce, though, is the stupidness of the GMs in the front office. And it's a quiet thing that a lot of NBA players don't do. Because they ultimately know, like, okay, probably later down the line, I'll need a job with a team. So I kind of don't want to speak too disparagingly of them. But Chuck don't got to work for a team. He's not looking for a team job. He's literally not looking for the Philadelphia 76ers to bring him into his coaching staff or the facility or whatever the case may be. He's got a job. He's making a lot more money than a lot of these guys in the front office. So he can tell the truth. The front office ruins these teams. And we get the possibility to hear the idiocy of the thought process behind their decision-making, how they come with the biggest cope and do all this stuff. James Jones, let Kevin Durant be the coach. If you're going to bow at every whim for Kevin Durant, and maybe you didn't use him right, let Kevin Durant be the coach of the Phoenix Suns. I feel the same way about the Lakers, too. Just let him be a player coach. We've seen it happen in the NBA before. Don't know why it's so taboo. People will probably say it's taboo only because, oh, we got smarter guys and that should be a dedicated job. Well, then hire smarter guys and let them do their dedicated job, right? Let them do things. Stuff like this tells me that coaches have less influence. A lot of people think it's the players, but now I'm thinking up top is telling them even more. And we knew that happened. But now I think it's more than what is being led on to believe. So not only does the coach have the pressure from up top, he has the pressure, and I'm putting the players beneath him, but that's not probably how it works, but he also has the pressure from beneath him. So now, fuck, all your responsibility is to count the timeouts. If Bron's going to drop the ATOs, if Rob is telling you need to play D-Lo, oh, shit. I guess I better just do the interviews at the end of the game and count the timeouts.
Didn't Bron say on the last podcast that, like, I think JJ asked him, like, yo, Bron, why don't you take more threes, like, statistically speaking, to help your team? And maybe Bron's right, but just the mindset of, that's just not me. And the fact that he doesn't listen to, like, the coaches, he said something about, like, not listening to some of the advice of a coach talking about his shot diet and shit like that. I get it, bro. Bron is Bron, but I don't know.
Hey, my hot take last podcast was that these players can't be usurped over the GM decisions anymore. Briefly, because it's pretty much a dead horse at this point. Chuck, that's Cap Gang. I'll give you what you said in the second half when you was talking about scapegoating coaches for sure. Case in point, Frank Vogel. I'm not gonna lie, yeah, you set that nigga up to fail even with just the roster. It's a defensive coach. He won a championship on defense. He had some highlights of his career with defensive-oriented rosters, and you gave him straight buckets across the board. I mean, damn. But in terms of Darvin Ham, I mean, testing new lineups, ignorance just throughout the entire season, lack of accountability throughout the entire season. No real ability to adjust. I think Darvin Ham's the worst third quarter coach in the league, let alone with my own two eyes in terms of a Lakers fan. So Darvin Ham getting off the hook, let alone being a coach that, you know, is good and he's building his career, I'm not trying to hear
say, none of that. In 10, 15 years, you find out it was all Rob and LeBron. What are you saying?
I'm saying, yo, Rob, LeBron.
You're fucking stupid.
But to be fair, I think it's more than just a situation where it's just Rob Pelinka as well. I think this is – I think with the Lakers – and I don't want to make this a Lakers segment. We're fucking out, thank God. But I think it's a whole blind following the blind thing. I think everybody involved is fucking stupid, to be honest.
Let me just address Quirky in chat real quick, because he said LeBron gave a legit basketball reason, though. I agree, because LeBron was talking about, like, applying more pressure to the defense. It makes sense, but I just think in the conversation of letting coaches be coaches, it is a little bit hard when you're trying to tell someone from your perspective what you think is better for the team, and he just kind of avoids it because I'm Bron. And I feel like Bron is not the only player that does that. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, plus that would negate the concept of buying in. And yeah. A lot of people buy in and win championships, but he's a championship player. I want to go on to this next one because it's tying into this Bucks game winding down as we're about to see Dame and Giannis get eliminated in this conversation, because, you know, it's a segue off of Doc Rivers being one of these guys who I feel like actually is about to unrightfully get some blame. Same thing with Adrian Griffin. Nonetheless, though, should we penalize players for playing hurt? We saw this game that Dame and Giannis were gearing up, trying to make a return tonight as it was going into game six. And they were trailing 3-2. Dame eventually ended up playing, but it seems like the efforts were futile. You know, we had Luka Doncic being injured. You know, he even came out and said if this was the regular season, he would be sitting down because his knee is just not great right now. He has a sprained right knee. Are we penalizing players for their performances even when they're injured?
Go ahead. All right. Go ahead. I think when it comes to the injury discussion, when players get injured, I personally just simmer my expectations for that player going into whatever game it is. Like if you typically average 30, 33, and you're injured and playing hurt out there, and you don't do that, maybe you're a little bit more inefficient. I understand the context as to why that is. But I do still think just playing the injury card to remove all accountability is not the right thing as well. Like we were having the discussion with Joel Embiid. I get it, you're hurt, but you are still good enough to let's just say, hold you accountable to 20 points a game and 8 rebounds. And you go out there and score 5 points on 1 of 9 shooting. Like, I'm not about to see him. I mean, he was injured. What'd you want him to do? No, he could have played better, even given the context of him being hurt.
And mind you, you could say that you've probably seen it before, but let's say Joel has his meniscus thing going on.
Mm.
All right, we've seen him play a meniscus game before. He had 20 and 15 still. A little less efficient or whatever the case may be. Tonight, he goes out there. He has 10 and 8. How can you be the one to determine that 10 and 8 wasn't all he had?
I mean, I will say it is an arbitrary thing, and I think it does just—I don't know—it is just a guessing game on that front. So, that's my answer to that question.
I think Souls is onto something when it comes to the expectation thing, but I think he made a sharp left where I would have kept going straight. Because I'm not gonna lie, if he has that stinker, Omar, I'm gonna say your ass shouldn't have been playing. I ain't gonna lie. That's my answer. It's not a matter of okay, I can take into account a player being hurt. But even during these playoffs, and we were talking about this live on Playback for Free 99, we just seen the Pacers pack up the Bucks. But literally, we were talking about how Dame, a potential Dame pack or whatever, and it's like, yo, didn't he have like 35 and 40? The game he got hurt or some shit like that? And then Joel Embiid has 50 or some crazy shit, all on injuries. And then the other day, if they stink it up, it's, well, they were hurt, bro. So for me, I'm saying I'm not going 100%. Yo, you play, you get slandered if you ask. I'll always take into account, well, he was injured. But what I will say is if you play and you stink it up, I'm not going to do the, oh, well, he was injured shit. I'm going to be like, yo, why were you on the court? At this point, you're self-destructive to your team. And if you're self-destructive to your team, that's, I understand that you got to be a little arrogant to even make the damn league. But, dog, that's selfish. 5,000 if you're going out there and because of your injury, you're stinking it up. Now, final thing, would I be able to determine why he's stinking up? Is it because of the injury? Is it because it's not an injury? We'll never fucking know. But at the end of the day, it's results oriented. And I'm gonna have to be like, bro, what are you doing if you stinking up with an injury?
Yeah, I know Damo had an interesting take earlier when we talked about this a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Honestly, It's definitely it's performance based. If we're gonna sit there and say that if a guy is injury prone, he's out there playing injured all the time. If you're out there hooping, I don't care that you're injured. I don't care. Like if you're out there, you're Embiid putting up 50. All right, bet when you're playing bad, I'm going to criticize you as if you're healthy. If you're putting up good games while you're injured, your injury does not matter. But if you're injured and you're going out there sticking up the court, you're going out there playing bad, I have the context of you're injured. That is going to be applied while you're sticking it up consecutively. I'm with Sage. I will say it's super selfish, and I'm going to say you shouldn't be out there. I was the person months ago saying Embiid should not be playing. I'm not with Embiid playing. When Giannis went down, I said, yeah, no matter what happens, that man Giannis should not get on the court. I don't think he should play this in a playoff because it seems serious. So don't play. But for when Embiid came back, I'm like, all right, I don't like it, but don't go out there putting up stinkers. Don't go out there and play great and then put up a stinker and think you're about to just get bailed out. I'm getting sick of guys doing it. I'm with Souls. We can't just bail guys out and use it as an excuse every time a guy's playing bad because he's injured. Because at the end of the day, they're choosing to go on the court. If you can't play, you see Kawhi. You're just not going to play. Like that with Kawhi Leonard, a lot of people talking about, oh, they're questioning it. They're questioning him, this, that, and that. I'll never do it. You want to know why? Because when Kawhi says he's hurt, that nigga's not playing. 9 times out of 10, Kawhi is not playing when he's saying he's hurt. He's not. He might try a game or two. Like last year, he tried a game or two. He stopped after two. Like, that nigga, I'm not. I can't do it. And if you can't do it, if you can't go, don't play. That 90s mentality of, oh, if it's not falling off, I'm going to keep going. That shit is out of pocket. It's stupid. It's pointless.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. As the person that dunks on the Clippers all the time, and rightfully so in terms of being a Kawhi hater, only because he's on the Clippers, I say this to say, man, and take if this adds more merit to the take, go for it. Yeah, that's the one thing about Kawhi I always respect the hell out of, man. When that boy say he hurt, not playing. Yo, yeah. The doctor said you're good. How you going to tell me, gang? Yo, TP, ain't you had an injury? Yup, I don't know why Kawhi ain't playing. Kawhi, that's tough. For you, I'm not playing, bro. Like, you can't tell him what's wrong with his body. Ultimately,
he did say though that the other day via Ty Lue that he is devastated that he isn't playing. I think what's interesting about this playoffs in particular, it feels as if damn near every series in the first round had a major injury that I'm not gonna say could have totally shifted the outcome, but definitely impacted the outcome. One of them most notably being the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics, which is one that just wrapped up. I think Miami only won, what, one game in that series?
Game two.
I don't want to say it's because of Jimmy, but Jimmy didn't play that whole series. What's next for the Miami Heat? Because Jimmy is looking for a max contract.
Well, but before we move forward, my hot take of the day does have something to do with the injury conversation. So, Omar, play the music, please.
Oh, shit.
I am done with the injury excuse in 2024, bro. Oh. I'm done with it. From this perspective, I understand that teams are hobbled. It is unfortunate that teams are going out there unhealthy. But I am just sick and tired. And this is not just specific to the Celtics series. But it is conversations that we've had about the 2021 playoffs, the whole Houston Rockets Warriors shit, the Kawhi getting injured in 2017 shit, bro. You face who is in front of you and you beat them. We cannot have this situation where when the team wins, it's just a big asterisk and nothing counts in NBA history. There's injuries that happen every single fucking playoff run, every single year. It is a part of the sport, unfortunately. So to just take away everyone who wins, to just take away from everyone who wins anything just because injuries are involved in the sport, we got to stop that shit, dog. We got to stop that shit. But
and I will say, when people are injured, people do have to step up. And that's just the way, if your team isn't built that way to step up, that's a flaw in your team. But I know that there's some guys in the league that we can bet on and we can count on stepping up, as opposed to some of the other guys in these conversations. And the place that I would count on them is no other than Prize Picks. I don't know.
Listen, man, shout out to Prize Picks for sponsoring this podcast. Let's Keep It a Buck's favorite way to play daily fantasy sports, and we're going to teach y'all how to play this game and possibly make some money. Omar, can you please share your screen?
Yes, sir. I'm on the page. You know NBA basketball is going crazy right now. You know Michael Porter Jr. is trying to put on for his brother right now. Every time I see his name, I got to go more. I'm slapping him in my lineup. You understand what I'm saying? Then I think that, you know, Paolo and the guys are going to come and they're going to put it down. I got to go more and put him in my lineup. I'm going to go ahead. Don't got too much cash money left, but I'm going to put what I got and hit submit the lineup. And it's as simple as that.
Yes, sir. That is how you make a lineup on Prize Picks. And thanks to our friends over at Prize Picks. If you guys use code LKIB, you guys can get 100% deposit match up to $100. Links to everything will be in the description down below. And shout out to Prize Picks for sponsoring this podcast. Appreciate y'all.
Thanks!
I was trying to get it in before the next game started. I think Maxie's going to go crazy. Okay? And his shit was at like $24. No cap. Shit was at not $24, 24 points. No cap. What's next for the Miami Heat? I feel like they've been on a treadmill for a long time, to be quite honest with you.
That nigga is getting traded. That's what I would do if I am. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Trading him. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Me and Dumbo were talking about this yesterday too. It's funny.
He's 34, you know, the timeline, literally, if you're trying to compete, the timeline does not – he doesn't fit no one else on this team in terms of timeline and everyone's development. The guys that you do have that are still developing, the guys that you have that are just hitting their prime, his timeline just doesn't match. And I get it. You lost Haslam. Please don't turn Jimmy Butler into a way more expensive Udonis Haslam. It's not worth it. It's really not. It end up paying this nigga $50 million to sit at the end of your bench and give motivational vibes is not it, gang, because that's what it's going to turn into eventually. Or paying him $25 million to do that. It's really not it. I'm all for trading him, getting as much assets, role players, whatever you can back to add to this Heat team and try to bring somebody else down there to be another star. I would much rather you trade Jimmy Butler for pieces that can help you go get it or to attract the Donovan Mitchell. Or attract a disgruntled Devin Booker in a year or two who's sick of the bullshit in Phoenix. That's what I would do, but that's just me.
He's looking for a contract extension, 3 years, $162 million. They did make some mistakes. I think we can all kind of admit that Kyle Lowry thing was a mistake, to be quite honest with you. But I don't know if you trade, and this might be a little hot for some people, a top three player in your organization like this.
Ain't the worst take. It's a take. Ain't the worst.
Honestly, I agree.
Yeah. You might be. You got a case. But in terms of what you do, I'll say, when me and Damo were talking about trading Jimmy, the one problem that I had isn't that what Damo said is incorrect at all. It's just a matter of like this Heat team is so weird. I think this Heat team needs to do what it takes to take a step back, because I'm not going to lie, Heat culture is sounding like losing culture. It's sounding like you're cool being the underdog in every single series, and then it's just a matter of, oh, okay, we finally got that upset win, and then another upset win, and then another upset win. You're going to get four upsets in the playoffs, dog? Like, come on, bro. So, and I agree with you that Jimmy's timetable, he's much older than majority of the roster there, but it's weird because, to be honest, it's only weird because Bam is that damn good. So because Bam is that damn good, you can even stank without Jimmy. You can hoop with Jimmy there. I think they just need to take a step back, gather some assets, whether those are draft picks or other young players. See what happens. If you're going to Heat culture it up and bang your head on the wall again, go for it. That following year, look at Jimmy. If he's still a hooper, go for it. If he's not a hooper, pack him up. And if you can't get that step back this offseason, all right, Jimmy, you got to go.
It's pick a direction time for Miami. Like what y'all been saying, bro, that underdog shit can only be so fun as a fan for so long. Like, Can we just go into the playoffs as a respectable team, actually be championship contenders, and when we make it to the finals, actually be considered like, oh, the Heat might win this. I don't know. With this team, though, like what Damo's been saying, they do have a timeline issue. They do have a timeline issue. They got some young guys on that team that are under 25 that have a lot of promise that I feel like are being rushed too much because of Jimmy and Bam's timeline. Conversely, with Jimmy and Bam's timeline, they don't got time for them young guys to develop. Like, they want to win right now. So it's kind of similar to the Golden State Warriors. Pick a lane. Pick a lane. Do you want to win now or do you want to rebuild? And while you got assets that would be valuable to teams that would want to rebuild, there are a decent amount of stars that might be in the market soon. Donovan Mitchell, maybe KD. Dame might be back in the market. Embiid. I would dangle the Jovic, Hero, Jaime assets that y'all got to form something like that. Or trade Jimmy. And I'd probably keep Bam. I ain't gonna lie. I still think he's young enough.
Oh, you always keep Bam. Absolutely. No matter what the option. Yeah. Keep Bam.
I think real quick, and we'll touch on the Celtics just a little bit. Pause. I think I talked about last time building out a 1-6, 1-7, 1-8. I think Miami have the best 2-6, 2-7, 2-8. They're missing the one. And if they can get that one, I believe they can compete with anybody. If you think about it like this, and we don't have to really do the exercise, think about every team that we're talking about, you know, that has a 1-8, you know, the Thunder, the Timberwolves, the Celtics, the Nuggets, et cetera, et cetera. Take off their one and then look at Miami without Jimmy Butler. Who's 2-7 would you rather have? Maybe Denver. Maybe Denver, but everybody else.
2-7?
Yeah. So we're talking.
I'm taking Boston's 2-7.
Yeah.
I'm taking
over Miami.
Miami. Yeah. I would probably take.
Somebody said OKC. Somebody said Orlando. What are we talking about?
Somebody said, yeah, I was thinking Orlando. I was thinking Orlando, but I got to really think about it. But I still probably say Orlando.
Do they have a player that's on the level of Bam?
Franz Wagner.
Okay.
Hey, 2-7. I mean,
2-7. I mean,
Cleveland. They just got a deep roster, in my opinion. I don't know. That top heavy shit is their problem too.
Okay. Well,
I think a sleeper pick there is Minnesota, but for the most part, Miami's definitely in like the 4 or 5 for sure.
We'll let the comment section decide that. A team that definitely, and I can agree, doesn't necessarily need their one. Showed it. Boston, Jason Tatum with a hamster class to finish it out, but they move on to the next round. Did the Celtics, and this is the only question here, show you anything that lets you know that they are coming out of the East in this last series?
In this last series, honestly, yeah. Maybe this is a glass half full take, but the fact that, you know, in a series where Jrue Holiday did not play well, Porzingis was injured and also did not play well while he was on the court, and Jason Tatum, from a scoring perspective, was inefficient as shit. The fact that the role player stepped up, I think it says a lot about this team, that they can weather the storm when, you know, the stars, because of the amount of talent on this team, that they can still perform relatively well to the tune of blowing out a team. I understand they're injured, but blowing out a team 20 points in every single damn near win. So, yeah. I like our team so far.
Oh, shit. Am I muted? There we go. I'ma seem like a hater. I'ma seem like I don't know ball yet again. I want to be very clear. I'm not trying to say exactly what I'm about to say. But Boston showed me anything as to why they come out of these? Nope. Everyone else? Yep. Well, I'm not going to lie. Let's really talk about it. If it ain't New York, Boston should stomp anybody there. I understand someone's gonna cap it up or type it up about how, hey, don't sleep on the Orlando or the Cavs, whoever come out. I'm not saying that they won't get a game, maybe two games, not saying that Orlando won't play good defense, not saying that the Cavs don't technically have that any given moment if D-Mitch and Garland get, bro, we understand. But ultimately, if you were to bet your money on one of these two, Boston would undoubtedly be the overwhelming favorite against a series against, in a series against either Orlando or Cleveland. I think, unironically, the two biggest challengers are playing each other right now in the first round in between Philly and New York. You're only going to be able to play one of those guys if you play one of those guys, because imagine Reese just upsets the fuck out of the old bracket, right? But, yeah. And being said, speaking of Tyrese, the Bucks were injured and they're gone, and I don't trust the Pacers team of actually beating Boston, let alone making the finals. The fact they had to scratch and claw against this Bucks team is kind of oof. So for me, it's not about, and I'm not trying to say it's Mickey, not trying to say the East is ass or anything like that, but have the Celtics shown me anything to where I'm like, oh yeah, they're world beaters. They're going to, no, not really. It's kind of shown me exactly what I think of Boston, which is a good team. It's more so, yo, everyone else, you're not beating Boston. It's like, no way in hell are you beating Boston.
Tatum got a tee up, though, because if he thinks the Celtics are going to win a championship with him putting up 22 points on that efficiency.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Nah, he got a tee up.
What did he do last night?
He's affecting the game in like a lot of other areas, but bro, you're about to be paid supermax dollars to be an elite scorer, dog. Like, let's stop, bro. We're not paying you to be an elite defender, rebounder, and passer. We're paying you to get fucking buckets, bro. Get buckets.
Game 5 stat line, 16 points, 12 boards, 3 assists, a block. He shot 6 for 9 from the free throw line, 2 for 4 from 3, and then 4 for 9 from the field. Derek White had a series.
Derek White was Derek White fucking weirdly good.
He loves playing Miami, dog. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, Derek White had a series. And then also, I mean, yeah, we gave enough time for Porzingis to really get some rest, but that's, you know, that's a good team, so I can't say anything. Let's get into our hot takes of the week, man. Sage.
All right. I got a hot take that no matter how I justify it, I know I'm going to get cooked by somebody. Man, there are times where you as a franchise, you as a GM, you as a dealer, you need to, quote, lose the trade. Not every trade. You can't approach every trade as if you're going to get equal value for an asset or even scam the person. Otherwise, you will genuinely do harm. When I name players and I wrote them down just so I can, like, keep my thoughts, because that's why I ramble so much. Fun fact, I lose my thoughts. But when we're talking about Atlanta Hawks, Trae Young or DeJounte Murray, I'm trying to get equal value. You end up keeping both. You end up keeping both yet again. When we talk about Bradley Beal, who I necessarily think should go. I know some people don't think should go. But if you try to get equal value for the all-star Bradley Beal, you're going to end up saying, oh, these offers suck. You get nothing. You keep Bradley Beal on a team where it's like Beal, KD. Nah. But some are optimistic about that. So let's go to the obvious names. D-Mitch, Donovan Mitchell, D'Angelo Russell. Sorry, I said D-Mitch twice. Tyler Hero. These are players that, according to the fans, according to the eye test or whatever, should be gone. Hey, it's just not your time. It's not your fit or whatever. But if you go into the offseason, if you go into every trade negotiation trying to get 100% equal value and or a scam, I guarantee you're going to hurt your team in the long run. There's some players, there's some situations. Dog, you got to take and quote L and just, hey, man, get bro to fuck up off my team, man. I ain't going to lie.
Philly is getting spanked like me that one time.
Over.
Yeah. Yeah, that Whoa. I'm not even – I was going to talk about it later, so I'm not even mad.
This reminds me of when I bit my cousin. No cap. My mama beat the hell out of me with a brush. No cap. Oh, my God. Isaiah Hartenstein go to the bench. Mitchell Robinson come. Hey, I'm going to tell y'all something right now. I'm sorry. Sixers got 8 points in the first quarter. 6 minutes left. Joel Embiid got all 8 of them points. And, man.
All at the line.
Oh, hey.
I haven't checked.
and there might be some accuracy to that. Belta ass is not describing what's going on right now, because these niggas is getting
toe up
to the flow up. Let me see real quick before Damo goes. He got 3 free throws. Yeah, so.
Out of 9.
Damo.
Joe Merchant. Mine's is Well, mine's is, I mean, I don't know how people feel about this. I know, Omar, you're not going to agree with me, but everyone else, I don't know. This appeared on my timeline, and I said, you know, I don't mind it. Just a quick breakdown, because the audio listeners, this is a, I guess this is a elective teacher, a volunteer. By the looks of it, this is a volunteer, because I feel like I've had a class like this before when I was in school. But a volunteer to come through, and yeah, not a class like this, but yeah. African Americans, like African American studies class, where it was essentially just, it was a local Negro that wanted to just teach all the black men how to be like black men. Honestly, that's really what it was. Like, swear to God, he was giving us life skills. That, okay, it was honestly, it's one of like the better classes, but don't want to go on too much of a tangent. This man is here. He's essentially just giving guys a rundown of how to be on dates, where you should sit always facing the door. Just a bunch of shit that, you know, your dad would tell you if you, you know, had a dad. Here we go. Let's just watch a little bit of it. Listen to a little bit of it.
They're dating, and she's the waiter. He come in. The men open the door for the lady. This is a form of, I honor you. Men, we got to make sure we're sitting where the door is. The reason why is because I got to see coming in that boy. It's a form of protection. If she sit down, I sit down. Allow her to order first. Like, we like sex, they like food. Look, she's smiling. She can't even stop smiling. The cheeseburger. Now, I'm spending time with your mind, and we're not just sitting there looking crazy.
What did you do wrong?
Wrong seat. Go back.
Graduated
early?
No, in high school.
Will
you guys like today? Can you have an
account
for
what's
the name? It's gonna be called Blue.
You like coffee? You drink tea? Right. I will start feeding to my personality. That makes sense.
So yeah, just a quick breakdown.
This is literally Riz 101.
The question was asked on the timeline. Do you agree with having a class like this in schools? Should schools adopt more classes like this? I'm asking mostly Souls and Sage because I said yes and Omar, I've seen your answer, but I want to see what Souls and Sage have to say.
Yeah, man, we need real social studies. Okay, we done with the 90s. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about real social studies, studying the actual socials. I like that, man. I like that. We need that.
Nah, I don't need Riz 101. I don't need Riz 101.
Someone got to teach it. Damn.
Yeah, that is. You know who teaches it?
Life.
Kai? Nah, let me.
I mean, let me tell you something. Unless it's Duke Dennis, I don't want the Riz 101 class. I don't want my kids learning that in school. America as a whole is falling so behind in reading, is falling so behind in math. If we got that much time to do that, take them kids to another reading class. I tell you what, Damo, you may be able to convince me. I need to know what grade level them kids is reading on. Every last one of them.
I can get behind you. So there's a gateway to have a class like this. You have to be of a certain academic level to be able to have this as an elective. Because in my mind, I've seen this as an after-school program first because, again, I had a class like this. This was the school I went to my junior when I played ball. That was their excuse to have majority of the male athletes in a space transitioning from end of school to whatever practice you had. Because there was all this gap of time. It wasn't like right after school. It was a gap of time. So that gap of time, they had us in there, and we spent 45 minutes, an hour, sometimes hour 30. And it's just learning life skills, learning different things, learning, talking about shit, having honest conversations. It was the first form of therapy a nigga had, for real. Like, getting
were the nerds in that class?
I mean, if you was a nerd that played a sport. If you was a young black male that played a sport, you were in that class. So it was some nerd-ass niggas in there, but they got out their shell for real.
Gang, that's the problem, bro.
What?
No, the guys who really need it didn't even get the service, bro. This is crazy.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying, I had one form of it. This is a different form. You can have anybody in that class. It was men and women in that class. Now, there was a woman's class that was the same type of thing led by a local woman in the community. But
you talked about not having tax classes and all that. I'd rather you had that bullshit.
Oh my God, really?
I wouldn't call tax classes bullshit.
This is stuff that they actually want to learn about. Them kids, when niggas didn't give a fuck about them tax classes, they taught you shit. I remember learning about how to fill out. What happened?
Man, these kids can't read, man. Next thing.
All I'd say is counselors and stuff. There does need to be a somewhat relief in terms of like, a teacher, or maybe all teachers should be doing this anyway, of just like introducing, you know, living life, taking joy into certain aspects of school, making sure that everybody isn't just homework home type thing. But outside of that, nah, Rizology class, nah.
And also
YouTube gonna be like, what happened to Damo's hot take? God, damn it!
Also, tax class is bullshit, gang. I'm sorry to say it. It is what it is. You just gonna insert your W2.
Get in the comment.
Oh well, don't get Joe in the comment.
Yeah, this nigga go flexing. There you go.
And that's why I believe in tax class, rich nigga. Like, oh my.
Just literally, especially with the new laws. Just stick your W-2 in the TurboTax, gang. You ain't got
no. Just gives me financial etiquette.
You don't got shit going on for that class. Nonetheless, you know, we got to talk about the women's on this platform. The WNBA is already mishandling their rollout of new athletes, the rookie class. This rookie class got a lot of motion, and maybe they need to take the keys out of some of these people's hands because they do not know what to do with it. First and foremost, we have a game on Friday. Tomorrow is the first preseason game of the season. You know, some of the bigger stars in the league. Y'all know who they are, right? The Angel Reese's, the Caitlin Clarks. You know, why would you? Because the WNBA league pass is free for the first couple of weeks or whatever. Why would you schedule this at the same exact time?
Yeah, what the fuck?
I don't know. It just seems a little silly.
Screen cooked me.
But let's continue to go down the line and see some of the other things they have going on. You go and you're releasing new merch for the championship team. A new crop top hoodie. You know, the kids want to see that stuff. Subria says, a singular sponsored post on IG would have sold this out in one day. So I cannot believe I had to scroll the website to page four to discover a crop top hoodie for the back-to-back WNBA championships with signature W orange aglets exists. Again, I ask, what's the strategy here? Burying it. Just straight burying it. Another one, they had an issue with all the jerseys and all this stuff. When y'all search WNBA on Nike, what three teams pop up? It's not a team. It's one player. I get it. Caitlin Clark is great. This is a monumentous time for the WNBA. They are butchering these things. They are dropping a lot of the balls, especially on the media days. We've seen some of the media days for some of the players. They had the mommies looking good out there in L.A. for the Sparks, Cameron Brinks, Rekia Jackson. Chicago didn't have none of that, and they are still a piss-poor organization. We talk about the security. Caitlin Clark has extra security. I don't know if y'all have seen Caitlin Clark's extra security that she has running around. Other teams don't need any security. I didn't know Caitlin was going to get mobbed like that, but that's long story less long. They are already fumbling this ball that they have just been gifted from the basketball gods.
Omar, I got a question for you. Do you think before March Madness, Jesus Christ, before March Madness last year, do you think the NCAA even did a good job of marketing Caitlin Clark, or did Caitlin Clark come to them type shit, if that makes sense?
I think Caitlin Clark came to them. I think a lot of people don't even recognize that she was like, she led the nation in scoring all 4 years. I don't know if it's women's college basketball's prerogative to market their players, especially like back then.
Mm.
Like that's just not the thing. Same thing with college sports. Y'all gonna watch, it's college. Y'all are in towns where ain't shit going on. We're marketing the whole sport. Also, we don't gotta pay y'all. We're not worried about the revenue, no way. Like, we're making our money from other shit. The TV deals are always gonna be there. Y'all's, it's the student tuition. I know you know, because you know everybody that went to college up here, all four of us, part of your tuition went to them student athletes. They was gonna make their money. In a different situation where there's a league that has to sell themselves to like people, you would probably just want to navigate just a little bit differently, you would think.
Yeah, that's where I'm getting at, is just I feel like, you know, when you give an L marketing team good assets, it doesn't really matter if you don't know what to do with the good assets to market. Like, and I think that's what happening with the WNBA. We've talked about how they've had marketing for years. I think Caitlin Clark has been a gift to them in terms of making that easier for them. They know who to market. You just got to figure out how to market. And on top of Caitlin Clark, she's also increased the marketability of other athletes. On top of them, in and of themselves, also being marketable as well. But, yeah, if you don't know what to do with the assets, the talent, you're cooked.
Question and statement. Statement first. One, when we're – I don't know if – okay, question first. With Caitlin Clark, what were you upset – were you upset that it was just her jersey being shown when they said, like, NBA jerseys whatsoever? Like, was it WNBA jerseys?
No, it's not that it's just a problem. It is that you have other people that you could market and you just decided to market them. I think that a lot of people are starting to get the curtains peeled back from their eyes with the whole conversation of like, nobody wants this shit. Nobody wants to buy it. Nobody's wearing it, so therefore, because nobody wants to buy it. Nobody's watching it. Those conversations. And people are starting to realize, the reason why is not necessarily because nobody wants to, is because how do you access this stuff?
Mm-hmm. So, but you would say in a situation like that where you're searching WNBA jerseys, they're pushing Caitlin Clark. That's their megastar they're trying to build. They're pushing Caitlin. But you feel that's an opportunity where now, because of the popularity that's been influx into the WNBA, now you start pushing some of these other names that like deep fans know, but would have benefited from these new fans trying to join. Like, seeing other names, seeing whoever it was, that would have been a benefit, right?
Sure. You said a long sentence, so I'm going to just be sure.
Now, when I sit there and say superstar, super C pushing a megastar, you tell me in the history of the NBA, megastars always it's always been beneficial for the megastar to be pushed. And now with the WNBA getting its first real influx of young talent, and they have their megastar that's being and that they want to push. Now it's, I don't know, man. Maybe you should put some other names up here instead of them doing what they're doing and trying to push their megastar.
I don't think that was a trap card. Yeah, I don't think
that was a trap card. That was a trap card.
That was a good trap card. I like that.
That was Bada Green.
That was Mirror Force.
Chat finally got one. But the statement, in terms of the scheduling thing, honestly, I just think that was worth.
You don't get to do a trap card and then try to walk over me saying that.
The duel's over. All your hit points are
gone. And I end my duel.
And I end this match.
You get to do that. I think what I've said has been misinterpreted or maybe just forgotten. I wasn't saying that it's not important to have other names. We're talking about what carried the league. That's what we were talking about.
So in the conversation about no, I'm taking my win. I'm not even about to go down this road with you, nigga. You're drinking my trap card. I got one. I just wanted my one. I don't care.
Anyway, comment below who
won. I just wanted my one. I don't care. Anyway.
That's literally what it was about. What's going to get the league into the future? And literally, we're seeing it with Caitlin Clark. We're seeing how her singular superstar entity is carrying the league into the forefront where a collection of superstars couldn't in the past with the WNBA. But again, that doesn't mean that there's not a time. I'm going to let you go ahead. But ultimately, I think this is, that was crazy. Ultimately, I think this is going to be a great opportunity because there are things that are missing, in-depth stats. What the fuck was that? Go ahead, Damo. Just go ahead. Yeah,
I was just gonna say, talking about why would they schedule the games at the same time? They came out with the they had made that schedule well before they knew who was on these teams. Like, because with the Daniel Taurasi that's gonna be playing Caitlin Clark day one? They was promoting that way back when. I forgot who they were. No, you said it was not. No. What? They didn't win.
You saying they, Yeah. No. It wasn't crazy before. It wasn't like that.
No. I'm saying, what you call it? I forgot whoever it was that was hating on Caitlin Clark, and then her team put out the poster saying, hey, get the season opener against that team. I figured the schedules were made back then. That was a couple weeks ago.
That was the draft had already happened, Domo.
Didn't it?
It's still dumb to schedule two games, only two games in a day at the same time. But
that was before that poster happened after the draft.
Did it? Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought that happened before the draft. I could have sworn it was before. No. People, chat, I'm not bugging. It was before the draft. Yes. It was after the tournament. It was before the draft. I promise you it was before the draft. Because he was like, that's crazy, dick. So, like, Indiana didn't even have, like, they just had, it was announced when they had the number one pick. They didn't even pick her yet. Like, they didn't have her yet.
It was after the UConn game. Where
but it was still before the draft. Yeah. So, for them to know that, hey, opening night, we're going to be playing Indiana. You wouldn't know, like, the preseason, this games would have been scheduled already. So that was, and I'm just saying, they didn't know that Andrew Reese was going to be in Chicago when they scheduled that game, I'm assuming. Like, they didn't know who they were going to pick with that pick. They had, the second pick and the eighth pick, I believe, or ninth pick. I don't think they thought there was going to be Andrew Reese on that team.
Even, and I'm going to see if there were other games during that time. I would think if you only had two games that day, you wouldn't schedule both of them to be at the same exact time.
Fair.
For those purposes. But if I'm not mistaken, that flyer that you were talking about, God, I can't spell all of a sudden. I just spelled it right, and then I can't spell it right. That flyer that you're talking about was the day after the draft. Or it was after the draft. They had 22 on the flyer.
Oh, wasn't that a controversial thing about, like, damn, they put 22 on the flyer before she got drafted? Wasn't that
controversial thing was just she was hating on her, and then her team, like, the team doubled down by promoting her versus potentially Caitlin, who everybody had going one, and Indiana had the first pick, so they was already hyping up that matchup. I don't remember 22 being on the poster. I just knew they were promoting Indiana playing, like, her playing Indiana.
I think I do remember something about, like, damn, they didn't even draft her yet, and they're already promoting her on the team. I do remember that.
That literally was the conversation.
Yeah.
Long story less long. Ping pong de ping pong. They got to tighten up, man. Domo, you were wrong, but nonetheless.
Hey, man. Hey. Yeah. Man, if y'all don't promote this shit like the class of 2024, but then spam up Caitlyn even more, bro. Like, it's kind of like when we do certain thumbnails or certain TikToks, dog. Have B-Soul start that shit off. Like, what are we doing, bro? Like, just have Caitlin Clark be the baby face, but still push for class of 2024. Because you got like five names in that joint. That is a minimum, by the way. That is backpacking the clout towards your brand. The only pushback that I'll say against all of this is maybe they're waiting for them to do it in WNBA clothes versus hyping up the draft class with college hoops. But I think that's immature. For the love of God, just push these players, man.
Yeah, they're just fucking it up. It's not even on some, like, they're only pushing Caitlin Clark shit. Like, why aren't you promoting the defending champs fucking merch, like, at all? Not even an IG post that people can click a link on. Just gonna bury it on page 4. Like, that's just a bad practice, regardless of who you're pushing.
And y'all website ass.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it was held on the 15th, and then that Diana Taurasi thing, that Diana Taurasi poster was on the 8th of April. So,
Paige and Juju, it comes gonna get crazy. When Juju eligible?
She's a sophomore.
Damn it!
To be a sophomore, she should be all right.
Sorry, stage moment.
I think that's almost about it. We do have this Adam Silver thing, but who cares about Adam Silver, right? No, we should talk about Adam Silver. Should we talk about Adam Silver? Cruz, I don't even see a video.
Depending on what he did.
You know what? I think I want to save the Adam Silver thing. Does anybody else, because I do have one non-basketball thing to bring up. Does anybody have anything basketball related to bring up?
Because we'd react to Philly getting eliminated when it happened. We reacted to, I guess quickly, considering we're likely expecting Philly to go home, because God damn, they're getting that ass smacked right now. First round exits are pretty much all but a done deal. Hey, one team that you don't want to see back in the postseason next year is
Indiana.
Damn. I'm
not a big son.
Damn. Indiana. I was just shotgunning it, man, because obviously we'll probably redo that segment later on. But Indiana. Damn, I was not expecting Indy. Domo?
Oh, I got you. New Orleans, man. Blow that shit up.
Oh my gosh. That's so tough.
Oh, but Tom, but the niggas say Indiana. Oh my God, of all people.
Miami.
Bezos, Miami. Okay.
Blow that shit up.
I wish it was the Suns, but truthfully, the Clippers. I'm not gonna lie. Y'all, hey, we look y'all lucky the Lakers in LA. y'all are real lucky the Lakers in LA. The Clippers. Kawhi, man, he just ain't healthy enough for whatever reason. And I'm not saying I don't respect him for it, but he's just never healthy enough. Paul George clearly isn't the 1A. So if Paul George is going to have to be the 1A, no good. You guys are bent. You guys preyed on James Harden and Russell Westbrook to be way better than they ever really were going to be at, not only at this point in their career, but let alone in the postseason. They don't have the best track record. I know we shouted out Russ a couple pods ago, but man, he cannot make a shot. So yeah, I think it's the Clippers' time, low key. Because as much as the failure the Lakers have been, good Lord, what they've been doing since 2020, a whole lot of nothing.
It's a lot of guys that I want to see retire. I don't want them to think that. I get it, it's a lot of money. 30-year basketball careers are overrated, gang. Y'all made a great living. Your health is totally the priority.
Retire hero too, type shit.
Yeah, type shit. Some people, I don't know why I think to retire healthy. Like, come on, gang. I hate that Blake Griffin held out for that long.
That is interesting. Players are playing until they like can't play anymore. When in hindsight, they could leave earlier. Huh.
Talk about some baddies real quick. This is Rekia
Long Jackson. Ass legs. I'm not saying that's a bad Cameron thing. Brink.
Need better quality TikToks. But some more baddies. Did y'all see about Michael Porter Jr.'s other brother?
Oh, no.
Michael Porter Jr. No. Is he a baddie? Is that what you're trying to get at?
What?
What?
He's a bad. He's a bad guy.
Okay.
Michael Porter Jr.'s brother. Porter Jr.
All right. We're getting to that point where the pod need to end.
You hear Porter Jr.
Last segment.
You Porter Jr.
Porter Cube.
Yeah, bruh. Hurry the fuck up. Bruh. This is over. This is fucked, bruh.
No, it's
Porter.
BPJ.
BPJ. Okay. Javon Porter Jr.
DPJ.
Javon Porter Jr. also got arrested recently for some antics, some shenanigans. And normally we wouldn't talk about this stuff because this ain't nothing to talk about. Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, Javon Porter, the newest Porter brother to deal with law issues, was arrested for driving while intoxicated. The 20-year-old Porter brother plays college basketball in Missouri. That's really my hot take. Man, y'all criticize LeVar Ball.
Hey, I said that in the short recording. I literally said in the short recording. I'm like, yo, LeVar up 3-0, dog. This is ridiculous, man. No. I hate speaking on motherfuckers' family, but EWIs. No. And
LeVar 2-1.
When Jello stole from China, everyone just knew. Oh my God, what a crash out!
Oh, yeah, 2-1.
What a crash out to just throw away your basketball career and what your family's done. Who knew the Porters would pull up like, nah, watch this. Oh, man. All the niggas scratch outs.
I'm saying.
In different ways. They just all found the – don't they got a sister? I can't wait to see what she do. Oh, man. What is she going to do next? She got to raise the bar.
Most people don't realize it is hard to keep, like, that many kids. It's like – it's 7 or 8 of them. It's hard to keep that many kids, like, without trouble. So, I mean, hey, 1 out of 7.
I feel it. That many kids is one thing. All
wait,
of them
how many
one,
of them?
There's no way it's just one good one.
It's like 7 of them, for
Uchiha clan ass family. Damn.
Thank God they all didn't choose the right path. Oh my God, damn baby. Fucked it was a bunch of them niggas running around shooting.
Let me see. He's from Indianapolis. Let's look at his personal life.
Oh, that's
Patricia
why.
Porter.
Damn, we can't even see his family, bro. That's what I think. That's what the siblings' names are. Hold on.
No way. This is the most predictable last.
Hey, no, bro. If there's actual PPJ, bro, I'm gonna lose.
He has Jonte, Cobain, Jevin, Isaac, Sierra, Bree, and Jada Porter.
And Jada Porter Jr.
JPJ, real, okay.
That doesn't include MPJ in that count. That's just his siblings. Tell you that. I mean, he's got a lot of cousins. I mean, sisters or whatever the case may be. Siblings.
I only want 3. I don't need 7.
I say Cobain's a girl. Wait a minute, what?
Ain't no Cobain is a boy, but none of them is bad for real. If that's what you was wondering. All right,
I wasn't.
Oh, I thought you were. My
he's
last.
I'm gonna have 7 of them things when it's said and done. Wait, he moving.
This is our next $3. We got 10 minutes to squeeze it in.
Dama Porter Jr.
Dude's paying to jerk like
that's
every 5 minutes.
Brand new to me.
But the reason why with that is the age gap. So I'm a lot more active than she is.
You're 25.
Yeah.
And she's 37.
Yeah.
So OF, back at it. $20 that time.
To get coffee that we have at the house.
No, OF is the. Yeah. OF, we're back. $10 that time. Back to the OF. Paying the.
I'm so mad.
I feel like I have the right to enjoy myself. Yeah.
Well, sure, you have the right to your life, of course. And that doesn't mean it's good, but of course you have the right to be stupid. OF?
No.
Dude's paying.
So, for the audio listeners, that is the. Caleb Hammer, friend of the show. We love Caleb Hammer over here. He was doing his little financial audit and found out that this guy, calling himself the financially responsible one, was spending a lot of money on OnlyFans subscriptions. A lot of OF subscriptions.
Why would you go on that show? Jeez.
Or microtransactions. Now, he said he only did it for that month. My only question is, especially with the microtransactions, because we know the microtransactions is dick ratings. Is what he did cheating? Is that cheating? Did he cheat?
Yes!
Ask
another woman how good my dick is, rated 1 through 10.
If this nigga is explicitly on OF for dick ratings, are he cheating? Bro, that
and paying for it.
That nigga is literally like, yo, please tell me.
Who's OF is $3.25? Nobody. That's a dick rate tip.
You'd be surprised.
That means also, if
the fact that he's not even doing it on mainstream OF accounts, he's doing that on the deep cuts. Now you're cheating, buddy.
Deep cuts, they got 70% off this month. Like, what the fuck?
That nigga actually.
He's got 500 followers. Now you're trying to get a relationship off, bro. Now this is crazy.
That nigga tapped the links on all the bots on Twitter. That nigga said, oh, he actually got some shit.
Wait,
right
there's a MILF 50 miles away from me? Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Hey, he would tweet, I like the Cowboys. He hit show more replies, pussy in bio. Oh, shit.
Exactly. You triggered my trap card. Yeah.
Hey, that's the beast of the whole Twitter game.
But my replies are fucked, dude. My replies are fucked.
Hey, we need more out of you.
Rosa, get the fuck out of my replies. Fuck. Omar knows who I'm talking about, too. Lame ass bot. Rosa. Nah, we're never trying to get some shit off, and then she comes in the replies, Rosa, not now. The Heat just got smoke, all right? Fuck out of here, dude. I do not want to see your pussy for $2.99.
People on Twitter were telling me that that wasn't cheating, though. And that's why I was really, like, confused, because they were like, oh, it's just, I mean, what's the difference between that and a strip club?
You take your dick out in the strip and be like, yo, six?
Like, was it in the space? Was it in the space?
Yeah, it was in the space.
Okay. My second question is, how long in the space was it, like, when they said it?
Immediately.
Because I feel like, you know, you be on spaces so long, you get the I means off. I mean.
Then you just
say some fuck shit. You don't even mean.
An hour into a space, you'll hear anything. Anonymous nigga,
four hours. Space, nah. You have explored all the avenues of this conversation. Yeah. God damn.
I don't know. I feel like microtransaction is definitely cheating.
That's cheating. Yeah, easy cheat.
If you're paying for porn, you're cheating. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I froze like halfway through the club. I'm just telling you what I think. I'm sorry. I don't even know the context of the clip because I froze and I came back and y'all was like, so anyway, friend of the show. I'm like, well, I'm just going to wing it. if you're paying for porn, you're cheating. That's all I can tell you.
You feel like if you pay for, now again, because Brazzers is a subscription with a lot of people. You feel like if you pay for Brazzers, that's cheating?
That's Netflix. Now let me chill.
Oh, my.
Personally, yeah, you too deep at that point.
Why? Yeah.
All this shit is free, bro. And they got 20-minute videos for free. What are you paying for?
At that point, when you're at the point to where you're paying for porn, you are so – you either have a problem or you're unsatisfied with what's going on in the bed with you. No cap. Like, to the point where you're paying for it religiously, a subscription, you got to get a very specific kink off. You got to get certain – it's got to be certain angles and production companies, nigga. Like, you are too deep. You're unhappy at that point.
I know you may justify it because you may not pay for subscription services. Why do you pay for Netflix?
I don't.
There you go. All right. Ladies and gentlemen. Well, this has been another episode of the Let's Keep It a Buck podcast. Appreciate you guys.
I know you did it.
I thought you was just at least gonna indulge me with the conversation.
No, I thought we was gonna get down to the one I do pay for, but I thought you had a little more fight in you. My fault.
Stop Movies Premium? Like, what the fuck?
What you
got? I got Disney Plus. Shit.
I pay for Peacock.
Peacock.
So why you pay? Cock. Why you pay Peacock?
Why Peacock?
This is the part of the pod. I ain't gonna lie.
The Office site, that's peak TV, man. Like, what?
So you're going for your
peak.
I know these are the goodies. This is gonna slap every time it's gonna get the job done every time. Why can't I pay for a subscription to get that thing that's gonna slap every time?
Honestly, the only reason I pay for Peacock is because my girl pays for Hulu and Netflix, and it's shit on Peacock she like, and it's just to justify her not paying for that shit too, just to pitch in with the services. So I pay for Peacock, but on the real, it's not like this. I can watch it on Rhino. Like, I can go on my phone on a free site to watch all those shows just as what. Like, I promise you, I'm doing it out of the compromise of my relationship. Like, come on, gang, it's not just to watch Psych in the Office. But when I'm on the Peacock, I'm watching Psych in the Office.
Sage, say goodbye to the people.
All right, people, man. If you want to watch us on other free platforms like playback.tv, you can do that as well. Or if you like my content exclusively anime related on Twitch, do that as well. Still on the road to 100K at 82,000 right now. So please support the family there, man. And last time on Dragon Ball Z, we brought Whole Claws back because y'all have been asking for it. Then we did 3 hours of nothing. Fantastic. I love it. You all apparently loved it. We streaming tomorrow. Today I am tired as hell. I have a hell of recordings to do at 1:30, so I'm not even going to pretend like I'm going to stream tonight, but tomorrow we're locked in. Let's get it.
Asking for Whole Claws?
They asked for, I swear to God, they literally were like, that, yo, where's Whole Claws been? They were like, yo, where Whole Claws, bro? I was like, y'all want Whole Claws back? I mean, we could do Whole Claws back, but the reason why I put it to the side is because we ain't done shit in like 3 streams. It was like, bro, come on, bro, put that shit back. We put that shit right back, nigga, just nothing. Literally, we got 5 minutes into any reaction, any game, and then someone gifted away. It's actually insane.
Yeah. Damo, say goodbye to the people.
All right, Chaz, me and my friend Midnight Snack, and we will be back Saturday, Fallout Day. Count on it. We're going deep. We're going crazy. My last Fallout stream, you guys enjoyed it. Had a couple fun moments. We're going to get deep in that game. I promise.
Peace out. Say goodbye to the people.
Peace out, y'all. Appreciate y'all for coming through. I will be streaming tonight. And then this weekend, my girl's out of town. Boys night.
Boys night!
Yes, sir. Come on, bro. 12-hour streams. Ooh, ooh,
oh, okay, no. Depends what time.
No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm ready to play Madden type shit. I'm ready.
I'm on bullshit.
All day.
Well,
I y'all not
go out of town too?
We ain't having a boys night.
Nah, but I can make her go out of town. Shit.
Damn.
Boys night. Woo!
I don't think my girl gonna be home.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, well,
amen. Let's play the co-op games. Come on, dog. Come on, doggy.
Oh shit, we should play Mario Party.
Oh fuck.
Yeah, my girl is in town. Oh, my girl's in town.
Oh no.
I don't know where my Switch is, dog.
Mario Party is shit.
Here y'all go. Anyway.
Force Switch games, man.
I'm not mad at Mario Party. Mario Party's just so angering. Just, that game made me fucking fight.
Everyone download Tekken, bro. Let's play Tekken.
Oh hell.
No. Tekken. Tekken is crazy. Y'all got that. Overcooked? It's a little cooking game. Y'all gotta be chefs.
I know what you're talking about.
I don't know ball.
Let's throw it back. Anonymous. I mean, Among Us.
Among Us.
Anonymous is crazy.
I'm not playing Among Us.
Yeah, hey, Scriblio is up. We going up with the Scriblio.
I'm with it. Scriblio, I'm with Scriblio. What's up?
Among Us, Fall Guys. We going crazy. Type shit. I'm saying all this. I'm going to be out the house all day.
Nothing's locked.
Later, I'm about to say, I know you're not going to start at like 9 in the morning. If you go later, yeah, we up and it's stuck.
I say, literally, if I'm home and I'm live and you call, fuck it.
It's just about we'll figure it out. Anyway, yeah, new videos coming on the channel damn near every day. We're pumping them out. like a kid that just found out that the sock had multiple purposes.
My god.
You pooping them out.
You know, the first time you found out, like, you was like, you know, young, you was putting lotion on you. It was just you getting moisturized. And then one day, you just grazed past it while you had lotion on your hand, and you was like, oh.
Whoa.
There. Anyway.
What's up, brother? Tuesday.
Yeah, time out.
Tuesday.